to minister your word, and I'm resting in that right now. And Father, we're going to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, my message this morning, again, is the purpose of the church, and I think this is about the third time that we have visited this message, but it is so important. How many of you know we're the church? If you're born again, you're the church. Amen. We're the church. The born again believers are the church. And Jesus said that we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Amen. Salt keeps things together. Salt brings flavor. I'm talking about natural salt now. Natural salt brings flavor to food. And I don't think they do this too much anymore here in America in modern times. I'm sure that some still do, but when I was growing up, we didn't have a refrigerator in our house, for a long, long time. We did not have a refrigerator. But what my parents would do is take salt and salt that meat down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That pour salt on that meat, and the purpose of pouring salt on the meat at that particular time was not to flavor it, it was to preserve it. Amen. Nowadays we have refrigerators and freezers that we put stuff in and that keep it preserved. But I want to tell you something. As a Christian, we are to bring flavor to this earth and preservation. You know what? Those that don't know the Lord need to be thankful, because when God looks down on this earth, He's looking for His people. Because that's who He works through, His people. Are you still here? And so that's the reason the church is so important. Amen. And we have a purpose. Now let me go ahead and read a couple of verses to you. In turning your Bibles to the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark, the 16th chapter. And for the sake of time, I'm only going to read just two verses. But Jesus is speaking here in Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 15. And He said to them, He's speaking to His disciples, and by the way, this is the resurrected Christ now that's speaking to His disciples. He had been crucified, and He had risen from the dead. And so this is the resurrected Christ speaking to His disciples, but He was also speaking to you and me as well, because the word of God travels from generation to generation. You know that? Amen. The word of God. You know, the word of God is just as valid, just as powerful today as it was in the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it's the word of God, and it'll never lose its power. So, and He said to them, His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now that's pretty cut and dry. I mean, you have to work hard to not understand that. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is saying, listen, those that believe on me, those that believe on me will be saved. Those that does not will be condemned. will be condemned to hell. Amen. And I know sometimes, and you've heard me say it before, sometimes folks don't like to talk about hell. Sometimes pastors don't even want to preach about it because they think that's too negative. Well, I tell you what. If we don't preach the word of God, we're going to have to answer to God. And let me just, I'm coming back to where I am right now, but let me deviate here just a moment, and we're going to move on. But too many times we are concerned about offending people. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about being mean and you know, hard to get along with. No. If you're a believer, you need to learn to walk in love. But we should always tell folk the truth.
Amen.
Amen. We should always tell them the truth. And folks are not going to always want to hear the truth. Amen. Because here's the thing about truth. Truth is wonderful. Let me say that again. Truth is so wonderful. But truth will make you feel uncomfortable sometimes. Amen. Sometimes people don't want to face the truth about certain situations because they don't like the way they feel when they hear the truth or when they know the truth. But here's what Jesus said about the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. I kind of like the way it's worded in the King James Bible. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, one day Jesus went into the temple and some folks was misbehaving in there, buying and selling and acting up and doing stuff that, in other words, they was abusing the temple. Well, you know the story. Jesus whipped them out of there. Yes, he did. I mean, he whipped them. He whipped them. I'm sure that was painful on the way out. They got out, didn't they? Although it was painful, but every lick, he was saying, "I love you." All the way out the door. Pow, wow, wow, wow. "I love you. I love you. I love you." One parent tried that with their child. I heard some years back, a number of years back, and they was whipping them and said, "I just want you to know I love you. You know I love you, don't you? You know I love you. You know, you shouldn't have done what you did, but I love you. I'm not disciplining you because I don't love you." And after it was all over, the child says, "Mama or Daddy, whichever one, please don't love me so much." Amen. But we have to learn to receive tough love. And the truth sometimes can be tough, but it is still the truth, and it is always spoken in love. Any time that God's corrected me, it was because he loved me and he was trying to keep me out of trouble. Is there another amen out there, sir? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's move on. So we want to talk another few minutes about the purpose of the church. And I told you, as Jesus said here, He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The folks need to hear the word of God. Amen. We have the local church like this church and many other local churches, but we have the, you might say, the universal church or the church around the world, because God's got his people all over this earth. Praise God. But there are so many more that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he told them to go preach my word, and he's telling us to do the same thing, to go in all the world and preach the gospel. And of course, like I said, there's a universal church, but there's the local church. What should we be doing in the local church? First of all, we should be reaching the lost. Reaching the lost. Because I told you earlier, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shine. So we need to let them know Jesus is our answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would what? Believe on him would have everlasting life. Amen. And they wouldn't be condemned. So we must get the lost saved, but also we must teach the word of God so that the saints can mature. How many of you know that God does not want us to sit up in church and remain in the babyhood stage of spiritual maturity? Amen. Don't ever get to the place where you think you have arrived. I've heard people say stuff like that. Man, I'm so mature in God now. I don't need this. I don't need that. You fooling your own self. Let me say it this way. You're deceiving your own self. You're never going to get to the place where you don't need to hear the word of God. Amen. You'll never get to the place where a godly man or a godly woman that knows the word of God, you'll never get to the place where they can't teach you something. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you should want to mature. You should want to grow. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. And I covered this last week. I'm just reviewing some things, and we're going to move on forward. But the reason you're sitting here listening to me right now is so that you can grow in the things of God. And as we sit in church and hear the word of God, God's going to reveal some things to us that we never knew. You hear me? Amen. You can read over a verse 100 times and then hear it preached the 101st time, and God can reveal something to you you never saw before. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So hearing of the word is so that we can learn and mature. But that's not all. The hearing of the word should be repetitious. Those of you that's been a part of this church, and some of you have been here from day one, and we've been around 37 years. Some of you have been here from day one, and others of you have been here a long time. But you should have heard me say some things that you heard me say before. That's called repeating. You may have already heard it, but you need to hear it again. All of us do. All of us do. See, that's the reason the Word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing. Everybody say hearing.
Hearing.
It comes by hearing and not just having heard. And the word of God is compared to food. Remember I said, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Bread is our natural food, but the word of God is our spiritual food. You hear me? The word of God is our spiritual food. And so I don't know whether you ate breakfast or not, but if whether you did or not, how many of you plan on eating? And I assume you're not fasting, but how many of you plan on eating sometime or another before you go to bed? Yeah, that's probably. So now, let me ask this question. How many of you ate yesterday? So my question to you then, if you ate yesterday, why are you eating again today? If you ate day before yesterday, why do you have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over? How many of you like chicken? How many of you like fried chicken? Have you eaten fried chicken only once? Maybe twice? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What point am I making? Just like we need natural food, we need spiritual food. We need to hear the word of God. That's how we build our faith, by hearing his word. Hearing the same thing again. Don't ever take the attitude, oh, I heard that before. Why are you preaching on that again? I heard that. He preached that 2 months ago. He preached that last year. I got it in my notes. Because you need to hear it again. We're very similar to batteries. If we're not continuously charged, we drain and we get weak and become powerless. Everybody say powerless. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And that's how we continue to grow in the things of God. Now, here's the thing. We come to church to hear the word of God and to mature. But we shouldn't be selfish. We shouldn't be selfish. Now, we ought to take the very things that we learn in church and take them out and share them with someone else. Amen. Someone shared a testimony with me before church, how that they've taken what they've learned and they've taken it out and shared it. And people are growing and blessed because of the word that they're hearing. Folks, let me tell you something. There's a song that they used to sing years ago. I used to hear it on radio. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Let me help you something. What the world needs is Jesus. He is the real love. Amen. Because this natural love, it can be here today and gone tomorrow. I love you today, but I can't stand you tomorrow. And some of us have experienced what I'm talking about. That's that natural love, you can't depend on it. It's the love of God that will never leave you. God said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. When God says, I love you, he means it. He loves us. Hallelujah. And even when things are not going well, we know I can fall back on the love of God. God loves me. I can come to him. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can talk to him about all of my problems, and he will give me a listening ear, and he will direct my path. He will lead me to victory because he loves me. Well, I just don't feel like God loved me. I went to him one time. I asked him something. I ain't heard nothing from him, so he must not love me. The problem was you was too busy when you went to him. You expected a fast food type thing from God. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God will move quickly, but you can't be fast food with God. And I think I know part of the reason for that. I don't know it all. I think I know part of the reason because number one, God wants to teach us patience. We just get in too big a hurry. You know, here, give me, because I got things to do. Hurry up, Lord. I got things to do. I got places to go, people to see, you know. And so we just want God to just, and so God. And people don't like that word, patience. In Christian circles, many times, that's a bad word, patience. We don't talk to me about patience. But if you're going to walk with God, you're going to learn patience. Oh, let me say that again. If we're going to walk with God, we're going to learn patience. Hallelujah. Second thing is, God wants us to learn other things more than patience. Sometimes we ask God for things and we don't get them right away because if he gave it to us right away, we would abuse it. Now, believe me, what I'm telling you, if God says, and he does in his word, that he will answer our prayer. Amen. 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 He will answer our prayer. But here's the thing. God wants us to mature in the process. You don't give your car keys to your six-year-old. Somebody is liable to get hurt or killed. You don't give a pilot's license to an untrained individual. And we forget that part. Sometimes what God is trying to do is mature us in the meantime. That way, when we get it, we'll do the right thing with it. How many times people have came in, I mean, you know, so poor, they couldn't pay attention. Or as I've heard many people say, you know, they weren't poor, they were po. Because they couldn't afford the O and the R. But let me tell you, how many times have folk come into some money and they forgot God? They forgot about God. Oh, this is great. Now I get to do everything I wanted to do. I'm here to tell you, those who's watching by way of the live stream, when God blesses you, don't forget him. God warned the children of Israel. When your blessings come, don't you forget me. Don't you forget me. Don't forget your tithe. Don't forget your offering. And continue to come to church like you always have. It's bad to come to church, but then when you get blessed, you take this attitude, well, not going to church too much anymore because I can afford not to. Amen. That's called maturing, isn't it? All right, I got to move on. Praise God, praise God. Are y'all getting anything out of this yet? So we are to share the gospel. Now, about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, I shared something with the men on Saturday morning. I want to share a little of it with you. We'll get as far as we can. All of us have different degrees of spiritualities. In other words, some of us are more mature than others. Some of us have been saved longer than others. Some of us have been walking with the Lord longer than others. But one sign of maturity is being willing to help someone else. Always having the other person in mind. Are you still listening to me? And we have a little interesting thing here. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Chapter 22. Luke 22. Now, well, I tell you what, before we go into Luke 22, hold your place there, put your ribbon there or something, a marker there, and go to 2 Corinthians first. I jump off from there first, and then we'll go back to Luke. 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter. We're still talking about the purpose of the church. What should we be doing as a church collectively, and what should we be doing as a church as individuals? All righty? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Do you need comforting? He is the God of comfort. Are you still here? Look at verse 4. Who comforts who? Who comforts us in some of our tribulation? Huh? Say it again. Who comforts us in all our tribulation? So it doesn't matter what's coming down the pipe, what you're dealing with, there is comfort available to you. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Amen. You don't have to stress out. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to give up. All's not lost when you know God. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. But that's not the end of the fourth verse. That we may be what? Able to comfort those who are in any trouble. That's part of the ministry of the church. That's part of the ministry of us as individual believers. God comforts us in all of our afflictions, in all of our tribulation, so that we are able to comfort others who are going through things like we have. Amen. Especially our fellow brothers and sisters. To the unsaved, we need to let them know Jesus loves you. And he does. He loves you. He wants to change your life. To our fellow brothers and sisters, we need to remind them of the love of God. Remind them of what the Word of God says. Remind them of his promises. Let me read verse 4 again. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. How? With the comfort with which, what? We ourselves are comforted by God. Now, let me tell you something that's not comforting. And we do it sometimes. Well, brother, sister, I know you're having a hard time. I know you love the Lord, and I heard about your situation. You know, I heard that you, and I'm just using y'all as example because I don't know if folks see you on the internet, but folks, this, I'm just using them as an example. So I know you've had it hard, and I know you've been struggling financially and everything. You know, and I'm saved now, spirit filled. You know, I know you've gone through all that hard times and all, but I just want to let you know, you know, what to expect. You know, it happened to my friend. They lost the house. And then they lost the car. Then they lost the dog, cat. They lost everything they had. But I just want to share that with you. But God's good, though. God's good. God's good. Now, that's not going to help you one bit.
Not at all.
That's not going to help you one bit. Now, what will help you is, brother, sister, I've been through. I've been where you are. And I put my trust in God, and I trusted his word. I believe what he said. I held on to what he said. I continued to give, because some folks don't like to talk about that part, but I continued to give. And I just want to tell you, God brought me out. Let me tell you what he did. He did this for me, and he did that for me. And I just want, and you know, brothers and sisters, why I'm sharing this with you, I'm sharing this with you because he did it for me. Mm-hmm. He'll do it for you too. I am confident. Mm-hmm. I am confident that what he's done for me, he'll do for you. Because now I'm comforting you with the same comfort that I've been comforted with. In other words, I'm passing it on. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And we're told to do that, to comfort one another with the same comfort in which we ourselves were comforted by God. Hallelujah. Are you still listening to me? Ooh. Now let's go back over to Luke. Now, I'm not going to hold you long. I probably won't finish this. We'll see. If I don't, we'll jump back in next week. But in Luke chapter 22, now y'all heard about Peter, right? You know, Peter made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? Now, don't get me wrong, he was a great man of God. Great man of God. Amen. Wrote 1st and 2nd Peter in the Bible. God used him to write those two books. He was a great man of God. But it wasn't always that way with Peter. Peter had issues. Amen. One of the issues I believe he had was he talked too much. Or you can say he didn't think some things through. He just, you know. And I heard, I thought this was kind of funny. I heard a preacher say years ago, they were preaching, and say one thing about Peter, he was a good guy, but he had foot and mouth disease. You know, he put his foot in his mouth too many times. And so, but through it, let me tell you something. Through it all, Jesus loved him. Through it all, Jesus loved him. And we see in Scripture, God used him mightily. So it ain't never over for anybody. I mean, Peter was that kind of guy. I mean, when they was coming to get Jesus, Peter just took his sword and cut the guy's ear off. And I've heard it said this way, because of Peter being who he wasn't really going for the ear. He was going for his head. But I don't know if the guy ducked and he just got his ear. I don't know how that happened, but we know Scripture tell us that Peter cut his ear off. I mean, that's the kind of fella Peter was. I mean, you know, he was quite a dude. He's quite a fella. Of course, you know the story. Jesus picked the ear up and put it back on the fella's head. Amen. How many of y'all would have done that if they'd been coming for you and you know what was about to happen? Oh, the love of God. Jesus had to rebuke him a few times, had to straighten him out. But Peter had some good sides, too. He was willing to step out on his faith sometime. He stepped out of the boat when he saw Jesus coming. He stepped out of the boat and said, Lord, can I come to you? Jesus said, come on. Stepped out, walked on the water. And I know sometimes we give Peter a hard time for that because he almost sank. But the reason he almost sank was because of the storm that coming up around him, and his faith failed on him. And that's the reason Jesus rebuked him. He said, why did you doubt? But I have to say this. We can't talk too much about Peter when it comes to walking on the water, because I have to admit, folks, he's done something that I've never done. And most likely you either. So he did walk. He did, yeah, he almost sank. Jesus rescued him, but he did walk on the water. So I can't say I hadn't walked on water. Amen. And even when I've tried to walk on ice to get to my car, a few times I didn't make it. Let me get to my point. Peter denied his Lord. He didn't. He denied him, and it tore him up. I mean, that's what fear will do to you sometimes. Peter became afraid because he didn't want to be crucified. He didn't want to be he didn't want to suffer. So he denied his Lord. But when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that he was looking for his disciples and Peter. I believe Peter was going back out into the world, going back to his old occupation, fishing, because he was disappointed in himself. And you need to let this minister to you. You need to let this minister to you. Have you failed? Have you failed God? Have you disappointed yourself? Are you disappointed in yourself? It's not over. It's not over. Peter himself denied Jesus when the lady asked him, aren't you one of his disciples? Weren't you with them? He said, oh, no. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Denied him three times and the rooster crowed. And Jesus had told him that would happen. He left in anguish and disappointment. But when Jesus rose again, he came looking for him. You out there, are you running from him? Have you done, said, acted in a way that you are ashamed? So I want to let you know he's still looking for you. He wants you to come back. And that applies to anyone here in this sanctuary. He wants you to come back. He wants you to come back home. Oh, glory to God. Folks, I'm trying to get through my notes here. But I know I'm touching something right now. Maybe in here. You haven't messed up so bad that God won't take you back. Let me repeat that. You have not messed up so bad that God won't take you back. He loves you that much. If he was willing to be whipped, first of all, lied on, whipped, nailed to a cross, then pierced in his side, if he's willing to go through all of that agony, all that pain for you, if he was willing to die for you and for me, all you have to do is cry out to Jesus, Jesus, here I am. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Remember the prodigal son? They call him the prodigal son. He left, did some crazy stuff, blew all his money on all of his crazy, wild friends. Some of you have some crazy, wild friends, and they're looking to you for support. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But Jesus, and I'm going to close, but I want to read this to you. And I think if the Lord says the same, we'll visit this again next Sunday, because I don't want to hold you too long. But in Luke chapter 22, look at verse 31. This is Jesus talking to Peter, Simon Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail or fall. And when you have returned to me, remember the hurt, Peter? When you have returned to me, what did he tell him to do? Do what?
Strengthen your brethren.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to come back next week because I want to deal with this some more. But we have a godly call from God. You don't have to be a preacher. This applies to all of us. We are to strengthen our brethren, strengthen our sisters, because there are many that are discouraged, like Peter was. Made some mistakes, but we've been called to strengthen them. We've been called to help them, because we are the church. Is there an amen somewhere?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your love. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for your love. Thank you for loving us. Even when we have disappointed you, and even some walked away from you, you never stop loving us. You never stop loving us. You never stop loving us. And you're calling us back home. Hallelujah. Those of us that are walking with you, have good fellowship with you. May we be sensitive to those that are hurting, to those that feel hopeless, to let them know